Hi, everybody. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning into the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Sherpa short titled AI.com and Super Bowl Sunday, where Drew and I are joined by Shane and Matthew to talk about some exciting current events in the domain space, including the recently announced sale of AI.com and then the subsequent launch and Super Bowl ad. We also talk about some of the other domains and domain companies that were also featured in ads during the big game. And then we get into why this is a watermark sale and what it means for domains and branding. And we also talk about how this kind of event provides a great amount of publicity for both the importance and value of domain names. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at DomainSherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at DS.TV. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button where you can, and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. All right, now big shout out to Unstoppable Domains, the ICANN accredited registrar that gives domainers powerful tools and the lowest pricing in the industry. They've joined the Appnernic Fast Transfer Network and offer fully featured landers with LTO, self-brokerage, and just 3% commissions. You can register $5.coms every Friday. Talk to them on X and NamePros to learn more. And also big shout out to Escrow.com. Here at Media Options, we relied on Escrow.com for years. They've handled some of our biggest deals, including 7- and 8-figure transactions. We use their specialized domain services because they understand domains. As the largest online and audited escrow operator, Escrow.com is fast, secure, and accountable with workflows built specifically for domains. Whether you're buying your first domain or closing a $1 million deal, they protect buyers and sellers around the world from fraud while ensuring smooth transfers. Escrow.com, domain deals done right. And also, big shout out to DNX.com. DNX is the domain name intelligence platform featuring all-in-one search results from the top marketplaces, including GoDaddy, Cedo, and Atom. DNX is the most advanced way to find and acquire your domain name, so get to DNX.com today. And also, last but not least, big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and of course, domain investing. So with all that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. Jon, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey. And I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Sherpa short, where we pick a domain topic or an article or maybe a special guest, and we dig into something for a bit. Today's show is pretty cool, and we got a couple of cool guys on this show talking about some current events in the domain space, because we've got some really, really interesting stuff and really, really cool developments to talk about. So let me get into all that. But first, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my guest. Over to my left, we got my boy Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger, the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. every Rosner has its thorn, a.k.a. never going to give Drew up. Get Rick Roll, Graybeard, the Domain Pirate, with a gray beard on a Domain Pirate. What's up, bruh?
Yeah, I've decided I'm not cutting my beard until it stops raining in Portugal.
Oh, okay. It's like the playoff weather beard, I guess. It's like a weather equivalent of a playoff beard.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Based on current weather patterns, it might be a minute.
You're going to shave outside and everything, too? You're going to make it like a whole thing, you know? It's going to be some unseasonably wet. You're going to look like Rip Van Winkle. You're going to have
gonna
this
look
shit
like Jack.
Like...
You're going to look like Jack.
Oh, that's right. A little stripe.
It's actually getting, like, pretty gnarly.
And unruly over there, man.
Yeah.
That shit look like... You got all three tones.
The pattern is like a breed a dog with that pattern.
Yeah,
that's what
crazy.
I'm saying. I was trying to think. Like, homie looks like, you know.
It looks like that's pretty. It is pretty. I mean, it is a pattern. Like, it's the
same.
Yeah,
it's wild. It's wild. It, like, I basically have the perfect goatee. I have like the perfect dark goatee, and then it's filled in with all the gray.
Look like you're 101 Dalmatians in this bitch.
You look like Hulk Hogan. No, you look like Hulk Hogan.
That's right.
who ran out of beard dye.
Yeah. It's like when Hulk Hogan went through his bad guy, old guy beard dye.
Yeah, I remember
phase,
that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you like the heel turn of Hulk Hogan, you know?
Yeah, he's like, honey, where's the second bottle of beard stuff? We didn't buy one?
Oh, I guess I got to go to the store. And he looked like Drew out there in the universe. So. Well, that's what's up, man. Well, cool, cool, cool. Anything else going on with you?
Oh, man. What's going on with me? Well, a lot of momentum, man. We got a lot of momentum. It's been a phenomenal start to the year. I mean, I think we closed 3 7-figure deals last week. Is that right? I think so.
We did.
I think we have two that will close this week, or maybe one of them will close next week. But so it's been a banger. It's just been a banger of a start to the year. And other than that, I've got seasonal depressive disorder. Never experienced that before, but
yeah,
we've got bad. Like 5 straight weeks of rain here in Portugal, and that's just, it's crushing my soul. But yeah, other than that, we're groovy.
Let's get it, man. Yeah, seasonal affective disorder. You are officially sad.
What's that? Seasonal affective disorder. Yeah. We're out here. We got, they're talking about atmospheric river. That's what we got. Atmospheric river.
Well, we had the cyclone bomb, the bomb cyclone.
Yeah, these guys are wiling out with all their new weather terms. Yeah.
Well, I think once it was like Sharknado and all that kind of hit, then they're like, yo, we got to actually make the news like sort of reflective.
Ever since COVID, they're just like trying to find new ways to make everybody scared. Like,
well,
mispheric cold bomb.
Well, yeah, yeah. And then, the weather is
Arctic,
obviously.
No, it was an Arctic blast.
But Shane and I have talked about this. And then, you got the weather guy, like, that's like, I'm barely holding on out here, And then all of a sudden, like, some old dude walks me, like, some old lady kind of walks past, like,
Yeah, she's like, well, what are you tripping on?
Like,
compare the charts. Like, if you go back to the charts in the 80s and look at the temperature and look at the temperature now, it's the same temperatures, but now we've got graphics with the freezing cold, ice cubes and everything. And before it was just like red or blue. I mean, it was just normal. And now they're
there is something about where they use the colors like for the heat and all that kind of stuff where they just like make it like red, red, red. And then they're like, hey, this was it 10 years ago. And it was like just some like normal whatever.
But it's like a pale blue.
Look, if you're not panicking, if you're not mad, you're not tuning in, you're not clicking, you're not watching, and they're not getting your, they're not getting your attention, and they're not getting your
dollars. Well, we had 19% interest rates on houses to worry about. We had to go work, man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We didn't have time to go work about the weather. You had shit to do because you had,
It's so funny when people talk about, like, high interest rates today, and they're like, oh, my God, mortgages are 7%. But yeah, it was 19-25%.
My dad came home in like 82, 83. I'll never forget. We bought this light blue, I think it was yellow at the time, but salt box house. And my dad came in and told the story how he beat the mortgage guy up for 18%, man. He was, he was going to get, he wanted 19 and my dad beat him down to 18. So he was so proud that he got 18% interest rate on his house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think we paid then. Like $700,000 for a $100,000 house when it was all said and done for 30
years. That's when you wanted to be a banker, you know what I'm saying? Like, collect
20%
interest, just being like, hey, sure, we'll finance your loan, you know what I'm saying? Like, give me as much cash as I'll get my cash out.
Well, let's say you were, but it's all, yes, it was, because everything is relative, right? So if you let's say your margin is, 100 basis points, and you're a bank, No, I don't know. I think they, because like Shane, you're going to be better at this than me. But like,
Saying because the federal
borrowing,
like,
they're borrowing from the Fed basically
at like 17% or something. And
yeah,
I think it was probably still done on basis points. It wasn't like percentage, right? So it's not.
Yeah. So I don't think they were actually making more money. In fact, they were just taking more risk.
A hindsight, all finances tells you there was more basis points and more spread, like it always was, just because it was more risk and we didn't have the technology to
assess. And less competition.
We didn't have, and there just weren't, there's a reason there weren't anybody getting loans. Like they were pumping up as high as they can because to see where they would stop the loan process. And evidently it didn't stop until it hit 18%, right? Like that's the purpose of interest rates. It's like, when are you going to stop spending? All right. 18% is it. That tells you things were humming. Right. It's a good thing.
Imagine we had 18% interest rates today. The world would just literally would be like,
Oh yeah.
The loudest break squeal you ever heard.
We go up to 6% and the brakes are starting to burn.
Yeah.
So it is an interesting, but it's a good period to go through. Like it's just, once you understand how things can look, we have a different perspective on how they look now. That's just how it is. Like talk
Fair
to my
point.
Dad.
Well, hey, look, you know, you're doing all this talking. Let me actually introduce you to
the
audience.
Work intro. Then we get into some domain
Boy
stuff.
Shane Coulter, a.k.a. Sugar Shane, a.k.a. Honey Shane, a.k.a. Mike Rowe, a.k.a. Blame It on the Shane, House of Shane, the Culture Club, doing it for the culture, in Shane in the membrane, in Shane in the blockchain, chain. What's up, man?
I've not had 3 7-figure sales this month. Mine have been weak for January, but January is all hit or miss. Like it's always a blow up or a slow. So it's been pretty slow. But that being said, I'm at the point where I feel like I'm the best stock trader in all of history. So I know that it's going to all blow up and end soon.
Yeah. But,
I mean, I've never made so much money in my life. Like it's a crazy. Yeah. It's like crypto period all over again. Like you can't really go wrong. Even last week, I was up like 30% last week with all that the haywire going. And I still was, I was killing it. So yeah. I'm feeling way stronger than I should. So I get this whole chainsaw, grape, and candle I'm juggling, and right now I'm looking like a really good acrobat. But something's got my arm off. I'm gonna get burned, or I'm gonna drop the ball.
Hey man, you know, so YOLO. You know what I'm saying? Like that's it.
That's the problem with being good at everything and great at nothing. Is eventually you just suck at everything.
Oh man, nah. Hey, good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Well, let's keep it moving. Last but certainly not least, below me we got the one and only Matthew Zeiker, aka the Kid, aka Zeik One, first of his name, aka Matlock, aka Master Chief. What's up, bruh? How are you doing?
Well, I didn't personally sell any 7-figure domains or do anything in stocks, but other than that, doing pretty good.
You're like, I'm chill. I'm out here grinding.
I'm just here, man. I had a lot of small ones. So,
hey, yeah, I mean, let's not, you know, I got to say, dude, you know, there's a lot of work, a lot of, you know, turning into volume and turning into cash and, you know, no complaints.
You can't hit the singles and doubles if you can't hit home runs if you're not hitting singles and doubles.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're not going to get the at bats. But anyway, so let's keep it moving. So, hey, a lot of interesting stuff happening in the domain space. Domains are super hot. We see obviously a lot of traction happening with us in our business. But bigger picture, there have been a lot of very interesting things that have happened in the last week around domains that we wanted to talk about, starting with the sale, the reported sale. I mean, the deal had already been done, but the reported sale of AI.com for $70 million. $70 million. So, you know, what do you think, man? I mean,
obviously, you know, start with the obvious. It's a new all-time record of publicly disclosed domain sales. There are larger domain sales, but that is the largest publicly recorded domain sale ever. And it has reached an incredibly wide audience. It's been discussed, I believe, on like 40 mainstream media platforms. And it's all I see in my X feed and my Google News. So, I mean, I think that that's just great news for the whole industry. Obviously, congratulations to our friend Larry Fisher on representing cool. the seller and to John representing Moriello, representing the buyer. As was reported, I was not aware. I knew that Larry had sold the name for the seller since, you know, many months, but I didn't know John was involved representing the buyer. Mm-hmm. Chris at crypto.com is a guy that we've done a number of domain transactions with in the past. We have kept those confidential. I have said many times, I just don't believe it is our business to disclose our clients' domain transactions unless they do. But we have done a number of deals with Chris, and he is a phenomenal domain buyer and loves domains. And, I think he's done us all a big service by putting AI.com front center in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well,
so
that'll be
excited to see that.
Did he buy OG.com too? Is that another?
He did. He bought OG.com. It looked like he bought XBT.com. Yeah, he's got a bunch of. He's got a lot of great.
Was OG a recent one as well? Like in the last same period as AI? Seen?
No comment.
Oh, I got you. Okay,
but
that's all the comment I need.
No, but I think, yeah, I mean, it's a little unclear as to exactly when they acquired it, but obviously it's a sick domain as well. And I think that's the one that they are going to use for the, like, the prediction market stuff, right? Is that what that's going to be used for?
Yeah. Oh, no, they didn't say that, so you must know something.
Yeah.
No, there's a site on it.
It got overshadowed by AI.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, but it's pretty wild. They bought a name like OG.com and launched a pretty cool, you know, thing.
Yeah,
and
the timing was a little off on the, they should have spaced it out a little bit.
They should have tapered it because otherwise it got overshadowed, which it did.
Yeah. But it also, when people, we talk about AI and we all knew that it had sold and Larry did a great job as he should, not divulging any information. And the people like, oh, I think this is worth more and that is worth more. I think the press told you everything, like how many people were interested in that name and the price that went for. That tells you the value of the name, that it probably is one of the top most, at this point in time, one of the most valuable names in the world. And the curiosity about it. The one thing that was interesting is, did you see the story that said he bought it because it was his initials? And it did happen to be his initials.
Oh, the seller. Yeah. Well, you know, that's what's also funny is then you start seeing
virals.
But I don't
think that's true.
Well, no. Yeah. It's not.
So let's actually correct the record on that, right? Because I've seen a whole bunch of interesting reporting that seems to be going viral and mainstream, and it's completely false. And I know this to be false because I was involved many, many years ago.
I'm trying to get us on the news here, Drew. I'm trying to get us on the news. Tell a good story so they can report.
Well, so... you know, I'm not going to get super specific, but I was involved. We represented a buyer that wanted to buy it. At that time, the domain name was owned by a company and an individual or an individual through a company in Kuwait who anybody in the domain name world, you know, is aware of, FMA.com, Future Media Architects. And they owned the domain, and it was being represented by Jeff Gabriel. And it was absolutely not owned by the Malaysian guy. It was owned by Future Media Architects. And, you know, that's a whole other story in itself. I'll leave that to Jeff to tell if he wants to. But that was owned by Future Media Architects. We were in the running. We had made bids on it on behalf of a client. And we fell short and it ended up selling. It's not my business to say how much it sold for. But it did sell for millions of dollars, not $100.
Rumors said
I'd buy it when he was just a boy, because it was his initials. It sold. Maybe he bought it because it's his initials. I have no idea, but he paid millions of dollars for it. He did not buy it for $100. He bought it for many millions of dollars. But he still got a absolutely phenomenal return selling it for 70. Yep. But it is not true that he bought it for $100. He did not buy it when he was just a wee boy. And, he did pay millions of dollars for it.
Yeah, I believe he paid $8 million for it when he bought it. And that was I think James Booth had, you know, put it out and corrected the record a little bit on social today. And, but obviously, you know, and James made a point that's also accurate, and which is why everyone gets very excited about hearing a story like this and wants to believe the $100 to 70 million. But people have made obviously a lot of money selling domains that they bought a long time ago for very cheap that are now, you know, worth a lot of money. And, you know, some of the best in the biz. And
there's way less stories of people that held it all the way through. Right. Yeah. Everybody says that they, you know, the ability to hold, even in Bitcoin and crypto, whatever.
Doesn't matter. All assets.
If you bought it a dollar and it's worth $100,000, you probably didn't take it all the way to $100,000. There was some point around the way you cashed in, and the chances of somebody taking AI and not cashing in, nah. That's when it is the story.
You know, it's funny because it's that this exact topic is something I've been thinking about a lot the last 2 days. And I was literally just talking about it with somebody immediately before this call. If you look at all of the wealthiest families in the world, it doesn't matter what their industry was, if you look at the wealthiest families, they buy great assets and they don't sell. And that really is the key. And if you look in our industry, when you zoom in and you say, okay, who are the single most successful domainers? Most of them are people you've never heard of, number one. Number two, they bought their domains and they never sold. They just never sold. They sell occasionally, but when they sell, it's for very material amounts and it moves the needle, and they still have a portfolio of incredible assets. And so, you know, it's part of the let your winners run. You know what I mean? It's part of it. There's a lot of lessons to be yeah. had and that people talk about, but it really doesn't matter what you're talking about. It always, the people who outperform everybody else by, you know, a head and shoulders, the people who really stand out are the ones that identify great assets, that buy them, and they basically never sell.
Yeah. Touching on that, my family has always said that you can tell a truly wealthy person because they know how to borrow against their assets rather than sell them.
Yeah.
You never sell them. You always borrow against them to do something else you want, if you don't have the cash flow at the time, and keep those assets because they're always appreciating. They're always getting better. Your cost is nothing. To sell them now doesn't make sense if you have access to liquidity. You mm-hmm. take the liquidity, not from the actual asset, but other forms of liquidity. And that's where you find things that don't sell as often. Domains actually normally do sell more often because there isn't the liquidity and we don't have the ability to borrow in the same senses that we do land. Now, everybody's saying that they're coming up with a way to do it, but we don't have one. We don't have one quite yet. There are some people that are doing it, but in general, many assets you can borrow against or use as collateral and continue to build. And domains are a little bit more difficult to do that. But I think that will change as just like this AI, that's just one more name that will help us justify and let the world know the value of domain names as a true appreciating asset. And that'll just help get us a little bit closer to being able to use our portfolios to take loans or however you want to say to leverage against them.
Yeah.
Yep. I think that's a great point. And I think that's, you know, we talk about it a lot. Like, what's the right approach, right? Are you trying to, you know, get cash and churn and continue to move it along? And, you know, or it's like you could sit on some of these and all you need is that one big sale. And then it's like, it makes up for not selling.
You never need as much money as you think you need. That's what rich people will tell you too, right? Like we are addicted to making money, but the real way to make the most money is to do nothing most of the time.
What are you talking about?
I know. Yeah. No, I can't. I got $2,000 on Cooper Kupp over 30 yards just so I can enjoy the fucking football game, right? Like, addiction. That's the beauty.
Did it hit?
Addiction in full form.
Did it hit?
The game of the world. There's all these things we're going to talk about, the commercials, everything exciting about the game. But here I am with a Zen in my mouth and $2,000 on Cooper Kupp. Come on. That's a problem.
But did it hit? That's what I'm saying.
Did it hit before the first
that's
half,
what I'm
baby.
Talking about. Let's go. Tell him, Shane.
I have not lost this month. This month, you should just fly and touch me right now.
Like, reach out and touch someone.
Just whatever you do, just come and touch me. Because if I take this pen out, someone's going to want to buy it when I walk out the door. The only thing that's not buying is my domain name, but that's coming.
I'm digging it, man. Well, hey, everything goes in cycles. So that's what's up, man. And, you know, I know we've been, you know, obviously talking about just some of your stock picks and things and your, you know, but that's the world you also came from, right? So it's not
I've always been a trader. I mean, I came to domains because I love assets and selling them and flipping them and buying. And it doesn't really matter what it is. You know, we've talked about it, whether it's monkey pictures or domains or social media handles or stocks, the ability to analyze their value and to take advantage of human nature and how bad we are at doing things. Like, we're gamblers. I wrote that on a post today. People love to gamble on options now, right? Like, that's what they're doing. So I'm going to sell you that option and let you gamble away, and then I'm going to take all your money and go home. So, domain names too. I have to sell my name. I have to be liquid. all right, well, I'll give you less than its value now. You can take your money and go home because you can't sit still. You can't do what Drew just said and sit on it. So we're going to take advantage of that and give you less than value.
But don't feel bad. Just call me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's okay. We're not judgmental.
Yeah. We're not taking advantage of you.
Sitting on your valuable assets is not for everybody.
No. Well,
yeah, and I think, look, some people just, we talk about it on the show when it comes to your strategy. So, you know, there are times where you just need cash, you know, and sometimes. Yep.
That's how we all started,
and
right?
Never, and look, both of you guys have said this, that, you know, no one has ever lost money taking a profit, right? And that's is that Charlie Munger or whoever, like.
Charlie Tuna.
Yeah, Charlie Tuna.
Charlie Tuna.
10 times smarter than Charlie Munger.
Yeah.
But we all did that, right? We all, if we go back and look at, you know, Drew and I were putting names in name jet auctions, which, we, you know, worked out well for us. I don't know if it worked out well, but at the point in time, what we needed to do. The Booth brothers, they came in here hustling, finding names and selling them to other people for cash flow. They don't do that as much because they don't have to. It's just all part of the process. Everybody starts.
To my detriment.
Yeah, to your detriment. But we all see there is a path to wealth, and it always starts with hustle. It starts with flipping. It starts with leaning on other people that are more ingrained or wealthy, if you will. That's how this process works. Very few people come in with a big bag, and the people that do come in with a big bag are the people that we take advantage of because
we usually get their bag.
We get their bag. So you really want to start and hustle, and that's why I don't get pissed off at the DM saying, "Hey, do you want to buy this shitty name?" Or do they're hustling. I give them credit. At least they're reaching out and working. That's how we all start. So you just have to keep that in mind when you get annoyed at somebody doing that, because that's what you have to do. You have to hustle.
Yeah, I don't mind when people reach out on stuff. The only thing that drives me crazy is when somebody will, you know, send out like a, hey, you know, looking for oneword.coms, you know, for a project. Or when somebody posts something about like, you know, just, not even necessarily not related, even trying to sell a name or anything. And then all of a sudden in the replies, it's, oh, I have this name that's, you know, fucking 50 characters long. And it has that one word that maybe you had said. And it's like, all right, dude, come on.
Well, how about when they say, this is the one that gets me is, and I've talked about this all the time. Hey, what do you think of this name? I don't think it has any value. F you, you don't know shit about the names. Yeah. You said Drew's name was worth $12,000 that one time. Like that one clip of me underestimating Drew's,
ABTC.
You're cursed.
It ABTC. Literally, between that and buying .ws names, it comes up weekly because of those.
You know, listen, I have a theory. I'm going to throw it out here. I'm going to send the markets wild. Okay. I'm going to just throw this out there because it was like this weird little thought I had when I saw the news about this new website. There's a new social media launching that's targeted just in Europe, and it's called W Social. I don't know anything about it. I haven't even visited the website yet. But I saw that, and WS was kind of their logo or something, and I thought, ooh, this is going to send the .ws market wild. But we'll see. We'll see.
Monty's paying to advertise on DSAD, he does have an auction coming up.
Yeah, I saw that. Monty's got the liquidation auction coming up.
If you believe in Drew's strategy, there are some coming up.
I also do own a little portfolio of, I couldn't even tell you one of the ones that we own, but we do have a little portfolio of .ws as well, like maybe 10 of them.
I have a whole bunch of two-letter .WSs.
Yeah, all of mine are two letters or two numbers.
If you remember, we did the 99-year renewal.
Owner.
Yeah, I didn't do the 99-year renewal.
.WS right here. I own Santa Claus till 2006 or 2160.
Yeah, three generations later going to have that.
Yeah, my great grandkid's going to be like, do you remember great grandpa Shane's password to wherever it's in?
But they do have that liquidation auction coming up. So big shout out to Monty right at the dot. I think we'll have a banner on the site.
It's always hustling.
You know, and I think it's interesting. I mean, you know, stuff goes through its different waves and, you know, people also post a lot about, not a lot, but I've seen the post about, oh, what's the next extension after AI? Is it .si, super intelligence or... You know, and then when like some of these additional ones get launched and, you know, with the new TLD round and all that kind of stuff. And look, everybody's just, people have conviction, you know, and they're
because they'd rather spend They'd rather buy 11 million domains at $1 than AI at $11 million.
Yeah.
That's just how human nature works.
Well,
right?
What I learned, you know, my whole concept with Riley Road and partnering with them was to address that problem, is that you have all these people, thousands of them, who are spending so much money every year buying absolute garbage domains. And I thought, well, you know, that's because they don't have the capital to get a killer domain. I thought, oh, let's bring, you know, real investment grade killer premium domains to market where people can buy a share legitimately, legally, fully SEC approved. I don't know. The demand doesn't seem to be there. People rather just roll the dice on their own bingo card of garbage.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's the upside too, right? I think that people are like, hey,
bingo. That's
no, if I'm going to invest a couple $100, a couple thousand bucks, and I'm going to make, you know, maybe best case double my money, like I'd rather, you know, go all in on some random domains that I can then
sell. I'd rather get a scratch card than
it's the gambling. It's the gambling.
Yeah.
It's going back to that, like what Shane was saying, the human age of the gambling. It's just, you know, this is all mine. I could have 1,000 of these. One of these might pop off, and then, you know, I'm rich.
Yeah.
The prediction markets are really good analysis on human behavior too, because it's proving that the real big money is being made by the people coming in at the 93 to 98 cent prediction markets that are almost guaranteed to win, and taking that 5% and 6% over and over in big lots versus the people coming in on the 30% and lower and hoping to triple their money. Money is definitely being made on the higher end side. And it's a proven product. You can just check the wallets. It's
Or in the insider trading. You know what I'm saying?
Because we could have a whole show on how in the world do we bet on we know the whole Bad Bunny halftime show is pre-scripted, who's coming, when they're coming, and you can bet on who's going to show up. And there's like 70 people that organize that ahead of time. I mean, that's ridiculous. Any prediction markets that are bet on things that are pre-planned make zero sense to me. That shouldn't exist. That's not, it can't happen.
I don't understand. Like, I don't know. They're going to, I like the idea of prediction markets a lot because I like I'm a firm believer in follow the money. The money is the only source of truth, because if there's no money at risk, then there is no truth. And we know that. We know that from polls, right? Polls are corrupt, whether it's political polls or, you know, policy polls or economic polls. It's all corrupt. It's all a lie. Even if they're not corrupt or lying, we see that the data isn't accurate because there's always some form of bias based on the group of people that respond to the poll or that are selected for the poll. There's already a built-in bias there. And so it's never true. And so what I like about prediction markets is that it basically is taking, you know, insider trading and turning it into a feature by at least giving the public a form of truth, right? Yeah. We know this is going to happen because it's a 98% probability and that's where the big money is. And it's like, the big money's on it because somebody on the inside is making that wager, right? Like, that's why it's happening. It's not random. Nobody's super smart. They just know and they can get away with it for now. But it's very interesting. It's at some point they're going to crack down hard. I don't know what's going to happen. These things are going to get regulated away. I mean, the insurance companies want them gone. You know, the sports teams want them gone. The leagues want them, you know, I don't know.
Well, I mean, some sports teams, it's funny. You watch, it's like the gambling, and, you know, now that you've got legalized gambling,
I mean, it gets more engagement. It causes them to get more.
Well, but you've got the partnership. So they're partnered with, like, you know, it's like, oh, we have no idea why players are throwing games. By the way, check out the post game show sponsored by DraftKings and FanDuel and, like, you know, and Harris Casino. We'll see everybody in 20 minutes.
You got a pitcher that's throwing an off speed pitch randomly, because you can bet on the third pitch in the second inning whether it's going to be 89 miles an hour, and all he has to do is take a little heat off of it 70 times over the course of the season and make so it's definitely a confusing thing. And when you see like $100,000 bet come out of a blind wallet that Iran will be bombed tonight, you start thinking, Is Bahrain going to be bombed tonight? Like, those are the beautiful things. But it came out yesterday, $2 billion last week between Kalshi and
Polymarket
in sports betting last week. $1 billion.
Well, and that's what's also wild, too. It's like you kind of talk about like what we did with Rally Road to kind of to create like an actual sanctioned approved ability to fractionalize domains. And then, you know, and then some other stuff like, you know, some other platforms are now coming out that are effectively doing the same thing without the same, you know, sort of going through the same process. And you have to imagine that the FanDuels and the DraftKings, who spent a lot of time lobbying and fighting and working through a lot of the detail as far as getting the, you know, and then even the Indian casinos and the Hard Rock Bets. And, you know, now you've got literally OG.com popping up overnight. And it's like, you know, like, it's the wild, wild west and nothing. If they can get away with it, I'm not even saying get away with it. If they can do it, then do it. It's just, it's so funny. It's like the rules don't matter anymore. It's like, you know.
Well, and that's the crypto, and I'll tie this all together. The positive is we love to see prediction markets take off. As domain owners, you got to have a great brand, right? You have to stand out with lots of different prediction markets. You either got to do it and be early like Kalshi and use these poly markets and use names that aren't quite as valuable and build it, or you got to come in with an OG and spend a shit ton and really stand out. So it's great for us as domain. Any market that is successful and billions of dollars coming in is great for us. But at the same time, crypto tried to come in with this anything goes. I'll go overseas and avoid the rules. And that's, you're lying if you're not saying that the reason we went to blockchain and overseas is to avoid some of the market rules and regulations of the US. That's not going to last very long. There's got to be some kind. You can't be HIMS and come in and compound everything after every drug has been patented and billions have been spent through trials and errors. And you have a patent. And then all of a sudden a guy comes in and does the crypto style and just starts compounding it in China and selling it. That shit's going to fall. This is all going to fall. Because it can't just be the wild, wild west. But it takes time and there's a lot of money to be made before it all comes into regulation.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and, you know, I think back to your point about the Super Bowl, because this actually would be a good segue to talk about some domains and commercials for the Super Bowl. But the, I mean, the fact that the Bad Bunny thing, like anybody that was working for the label or, you know, and I guess I read somewhere that somebody had told some.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Go ahead and say. So a friend of Drake, a rapper, Drake told him that Cardi B was not going to dance at the Super Bowl. So he bet $168,000 that she was not going to dance, but or not be a performer in the Super Bowl. But during it, she's out by one of the props, one of the buildings, dancing in the background. And so Polymarket said, she's in the Super Bowl. You lose your bet. And he's like,
no.
And he's like,
she's technically in the mix. She was like in the group, like she was in the performance. She wasn't necessarily like singing or anything, but there was her and a bunch of other celebrities that were just kind of hanging out and vibing during like the one like
fake bodega thing. She was
The casita. And, and then, you know,
so is she performing? Like, that's the rules of, we haven't truly established the rules of the game. Like, what is
that's a whole nother thing, too. About
afterwards, what's even worse is he came out on X. He's like, oh, that shouldn't have been classified as a performance and she didn't speak. And everybody's like, yo, that was you that made the bet. Like, you're using inside information. And then he, like, wiped his whole X account. It was like,
but this is what I'm saying. It's crazy because it's like, well, I don't know. Like, I guess the terms, if the platform has terms that you can't use,
the level of corruption and just blatant in your face, like just favoritism and just every form of ism is just out there right now. It's just, it's wild. It's wild.
And now, like me, God, this is like the best time. Like I told you, this is like the best time in the world. There's just money flying all over. We're just making stuff to bet up on where people are going crazy. It's an amazing time. Like, I absolutely love it. I love when we talk about this information asymmetry. That there's no more information asymmetry than these crazy ass bets on Polymarket where people have information that nobody else has that they can bet on. So I think it's great. It's not great for the general public though, because we are going to get crushed and a lot of people are going to lose money. You know, there's 15-year-olds betting on Cardi B dancing at the Super Bowl. Not a great thing. Well, all right, let's talk about some of the
Speaking about the Super Bowl, yeah, I mean, I think this is a great segue. It's, you know, this was a great Super Bowl for domain names. And
this was the domain name Super Bowl.
Yeah. It really was.
Domain name commercials, like more than GoDaddy for the first time.
Well, that's,
I mean, just like, I don't even know. I just off the top of my head, it's like you had Squarespace all about domains, Wix basically about domains, GoDaddy, AI.com, obviously. What other big domains were in there? You had homes.com.
Yeah, apartments.com.
Apartments.com.
Prominent. And then not to mention just plenty of other companies that just post, you know, obviously like promoted their domain. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it was a, it was crazy. And then there was this, like, I guess a somewhat viral post that came out with, you know, this guy, it's not true, but he was like, oh, I'm the lead developer at crypto.com. We had a budget of $78 million. We spent $70 million on the domain, $8 million on the Super Bowl ad, and $500.
On a cloud free cloud free tier.
That was a solid post, I have to say.
But it's crazy because I think that, you know, the cool thing about the AI.com deal and the Super Bowl ad, I mean, it wasn't just the purchase, right? It was the purchase and then they literally just dropped the Super Bowl ad. So it's like you couldn't be more front of mind for everybody now. And it does create all of this dialogue and excitement where people are just like, holy shit, domains, like, you know, the value of domains. It lets people know too. It's like, yeah, I mean, you know, whether or not it turns out to be a good purchase, I think that it's, you know, clearly is, you know, it's a landmark. But now just the amount of publicity, the amount of chatter, and then putting it in, you know, kind of just puts it out there in the universe that it's like domains have real value. And it's not like people don't know. It just further just kind of.
But how about like the Squarespace was just fantastic. Like, I didn't get my domain. I've always wanted my, and Emma Stone, everybody loves Emma Stone. There's not a person in the world that doesn't like Emma Stone. It was a perfect combination of just the importance of a domain name, a famous celebrity focus. I thought it was a great commercial and a great overall.
Oh, that campaign was amazing. And, you know, big shout out. It was Brian Harbin and his crew. They helped the seller sell it to her. So he, you know, dealt with, you know, her people. And, you know, it was just, look, it was like a big budget production for the commercial, an extended commercial, you know. And then if you go to emmastone.com, it takes you to the whole like ad campaign. And, you know, I just always am a fan of how a company like Squarespace, which, you know, didn't start traditionally as a domain company, has leaned further and further into the domain space as, you know, core to what they do as a business.
Yeah, they joined the board of the ICA. Yeah, they really are stepping it up. They're doing a much better job than Google was ever doing with that registrar.
Yeah, so they bought the Google registrar, and you're right, Kevin Doerr is now a member of the ICA board, and you know, they just kind of, they get it. And it's funny because you see the evolution of that company, you know, as they started with hosting and, you know, websites, and, you know, and then really just, they're very like Wix and then lean, but even Wix had their own, you know, Super Bowl ad as well. So it's like, you know, and you know, it's funny, GoDaddy had kind of set the table or set the standard initially about domain companies, you know, getting to a point where they could play with the big boys like that, and then Danica Patrick and all this kind of stuff. But now they're just, their Super Bowl ad kind of just came and went, you know what I'm saying? And it's like,
yeah, and well, and you got basically three competitors in there with them, right? What I will say is this. You know, basically on the back of what we talked about with Ron Jackson last week in our interview with him, I think what's clear, right? Even as confident as I felt before, there's just, the evidence is coming very quickly. We've talked about the future of domains for a long time. We've all sort of looked at it and said, you know, what would mainstream adoption look like, right? And I think this is it. I think we're there. We arrived. You know what I mean? It's like the Bitcoin world talked for, you know, 15 years about, you know, what does mainstream adoption look like? And it was like, well, you know, I don't know, what is there, 5-7 ETFs? And, you know, every major asset manager on earth promoting, you know, putting it into various portfolios, right? That's what mainstream adoption looks like. So I think we're there, you know, to see a public sale of $70 million. I think what people also miss, and what I think may be one of the most important points, beyond just like the scale of exposure of AI.com and the size of that sale, and it's a very impressive figure and all that, it's a new high watermark that is fully validated in a cash transaction. There's no ambiguity about, you know, was there a website or a business or no, this was a straight domain transaction and it is a verified amount. It was all cash. Well, it was paid in crypto, but, you know, effectively cash. And that, so when you look at the domain market over a long period of time, it's like, you know, people knew sex.com selling for $13 million or 13 and a half or whatever it was. And that was like 2015-ish, I'm going to say. And then maybe even before that, might have been like 2012-ish. Anyways, it was early 2010s. And then you had voice.com in 2020. Michael Saylor sold voice.com to Brock Pierce and for $30 million, right? And that sent everybody wild. And that didn't get nearly the level of exposure that this did. Because when Saylor did that, that was actually before his, you know, real Bitcoin enthusiasm. And so that didn't get nearly the level of interest and discussion that this AI.com deal is. And so I think for a lot of people, and I know this because we get end users pushing back on us and telling us this, for a lot of people, it was like, oh, domain name selling for millions of dollars, that's a thing of the past. With AI, we're kind of past that. And it's like, no, we're not. In fact, it's just the opposite. And literally couldn't be more in your face to have AI.com for $70 million setting a new high water mark in 2026. I can tell the sale took place in 2025, but I think that is going to send reverberations through the market for a long time to come. And I think that it basically changed a lot of conversations about where are domain names in their trajectory as an asset class? Are they plateaued? Are they on decline? No, we are in the steep part of an S curve. That's where we are. We're in the final steepening of an S curve. And I really do think that domain values I think we're going to see domain values go exponential. But again, we're only talking about the cream, right? AI.com, it's as good as it gets, right?
Yeah.
So it's not that everybody's domains are worth $70 million now, but it tells you that in this new world, in this new AI-driven world, at least as it pertains to technology and software and service-based businesses, your domain name is your moat. Your domain name is your brand. Your domain name is everything, and it's your only competitive advantage. And so if you're some, you know, hard to spell, hard to remember, nothing outstanding dot whatever, you're going to have a hard time because everything about you is a commodity. You may not know yet, but you are a commodity. Everything about you is a commodity. We're 12 months away from any 18-year-old, 16-year-old in their house on a computer being able to build what you're building. Unless you've got a brand that becomes a household name overnight. Unless you can leverage that brand in a meaningful way. Now, everybody says, oh, well, domain name is only for... Yes, 100%. The domain name is only... It's a chair. It's a seat at the table. But apples to apples, if you're going to go build a business, you don't get a seat at the table without the killer domain unless you go out and, you know, get lucky, spend an absolute insane amount of money in spent marketing, meaning it's pure expense. You have nothing to show for it. You know, money in, money out, that's it, gone.
I'll add to that. Unless you built the table or you're one of the first few chairs, a domain name's the only way to get the seat.
That's it.
Yeah, 100%. And that's, you made the point with the Kalshi poly market. Like, you know, if you're the early, you know, folks, like, then you can get in by establishing a brand.
Your product, you know, is what brought you to the table there. But once that product's built and then all the competitors come in, the only way to get the seed is to out-brand them and out-domain them. That's
It's out-brand them or come
out-market them. Out-marketing. That's what this is. This is an amplification of marketing. So
100%. And I think that's exactly right. And I just think, to Drew's point, you know, the drop of this sale, it couldn't be better from just a front of mind for all sorts of people and like just an awareness and like sort of scratching all these different itches, because it's like, it's AI. It's a huge number. They did the Super Bowl ad. The way that it was like, you know, it's just all these different pieces kind of coming together at the same time to like really put it on the map in a way that was like, you know, publicly disclosed, like open about the price, like this, you know, it was just like, boom, like hit everybody in the face. And, you know, to the point that I'm at like a, you know, thing this weekend and I got people, you know, what do you do? Oh, I do domains, you know. Oh, well, hey, what about this AI? Was that you? You guys AI.com? You know, like, and it's I sold that shit. This party's on me.
It's not an anomaly. That's the first time, too, where I felt like, yeah, sex.com. Well, that's sex.com. That's worth, nothing else is worth like that. I didn't feel that so much here. Like, yes, AI is one of the best domains in the world. But there's a lot of other names that are worth millions. It's not an anomaly anymore. It's just a high watermark. It's not.
Yeah, I mean, look, we used to do, you know, 4 7-figure deals a year. If I go back 10 years, let's say 4 7-figure deals a year, right? Maybe it was 5, you know, I don't know, but roughly speaking. Then it was like, you know, okay, you know, it was like a slow grind. And now it's like,
yeah, you do that.
I've done more than that this month.
Yeah.
I've done more than that in the last 7 days. So end of the year last year, same thing. I mean, it just, it's, there is a new high water mark. I mean, I think it's you know, $1 million is the new 100 grand, and or, you know, maybe it's the new 250 grand.
You know what else it's doing too? I don't mean to interrupt you, Drew, but the other thing it's doing is it's bringing some domains out of the woodwork.
Yes.
We're not available because they see $70 million and they think, hold on. It's probably not worth $70 million, but I think I have a domain. And they come out, they've never been for sale. So you're going to see, and you get to experience it first. Yeah.
It's funny that you say that, because in the last 48 hours, we are getting inundated with inbound emails saying, hey, I've owned this domain 20 years. Can you help me sell it? And it's like, we probably got, I don't know, 15, 20 of those in the last 48 hours.
I'm getting emails from people that said, hey, so-and-so said that your domain, Shane, can you do this or that? And I'm like, I've never seen that name for sale at all. And it's a guy that specialized in something, like you said, back in the 80s, and realized he's sitting on a couple of things that might be worth $1 million. And he's probably not wrong. Because nobody's even thought of that word, honestly, and then you start thinking about it. So, yeah, I think there's just so many ways we could talk about how this is good for the domain name industry. And not to switch subjects, but the other thing I thought was interesting was Roe, the founder of Roe, wrote a really good X article on the cost of the Super Bowl, of what it costs to run a commercial, how much it... So, you had to buy a commercial, but you also had to spend that exact amount on other advertising. So the commercial that was $10 million, but they were required to spend another $10 million to advertise somewhere else to get that commercial. So it was at least a $20 million production cost, depending on who you hired. Celebrity cost $1 to $5 million to be on a Super Bowl ad. So that was another $1 to $5 million. Plus production value is required to be of certain, and I don't believe this with Coinbase, but he said it was required to be of certain production value in order to be accepted. So there was another couple million in spending. So you're looking at $25 million to play this Super Bowl game that we're talking about. Oh. And I'd never really heard that insider before. So if you get a chance to read that, it's a really interesting look at what it costs to play this game. This is not a cheap game to play that we're talking about.
Yeah, this is the big table.
Yeah. And the other thing that was interesting, and it's really good from a viewpoint, they say, well, I could get 300 million people to view me in other aspects. And they went through the data that says the Super Bowl you could spend it $300 million through the whole year. Or I think it wasn't that much, but let's say $50 million through the whole year in advertising, or you could spend it all in the Super Bowl. The retention and brand awareness is so great at the Super Bowl. It's the biggest in-person event that your advertising later in the year is much easier and higher engagement because they saw you during the Super Bowl. So money spent after that spend is much, it goes much further in much better engagement, and it's just a better spend from that point on.
Again, yeah.
Super interesting things I don't think about when it comes to marketing, because I'm really not a marketing person, but they had the data and said, hey, this goes way beyond of the spend we're doing now. It's more than you think it is, but it also is very effective later in the year. So great, great stuff there.
I also think it's funny. I've seen on my feed, like, the only people that are super negative on the AI.com purchase are all Europeans. And it's just so funny to me because, you know, I live in Portugal and my wife is German. I've spent a lot of time in Europe for 25 years now. And, you know, our business, you know, I don't know how it slices up these days, but I could tell you that it's single digits sells into Europe.
And why is that? Explain why.
Because Europeans don't spend. They don't. And you can say what you will, right? But they don't have that exuberance of like, I'm going to take a big risk. I'm going to make a big purchase, take a risk in order to get an outsized return to, you know, create an asymmetric advantage for my company versus my competition. They advertise in trade magazines. They do standard marketing tactics. They do, you know, it's just not aggressive in the way that the United States is, or even that Asia is. It's just more tame. And you have these very conservative minded business leaders that don't spend. When I say conservative, I don't mean that in a political meaning. I mean financially conservative. They don't want to spend. They're looking for ways to cut costs, not, you know, increase them. You approach them with a domain name, they're like, we will spend hundreds of dollars on that $1 million domain. And like literally, like when I see, if we're acting as a buyer's broker and we're going to acquire a domain and that domain is owned by a French or a German owner, I'm like, oh, great. We're going to get this at a great price almost every time because they don't value it the way an American owner would or a Canadian or an Asian. But if we have a German or a French or, you know, a European company reach out, you know, as a buyer for us to help them acquire a domain, I just know out of the gate, they're just not going to spend what it's going to take to get that name.
Yeah. They're spending more time.
It's very difficult for them to wrap their head around, you know, the value and the price tag of a, you know, great domain name.
Yeah. Yeah. When I see an inquiry from Europe, I know this.
I see all these marketing people from like Italy and France. They're like, this is a terrible spend of money. You could have spent it on marketing. And it's like, no, now, like whatever you spent on marketing would have had X effect. Having the killer domain name in the same marketing has 2X effect, and you still own the asset. So you're building equity in the brand as opposed to just spend, get whatever return, have to spend again. There's no return on investment in marketing unless you're building equity into something. And so in order to build equity in your brand through just normal marketing, you have to spend a lot of money for a long extended period of time. It has to be consistent and constant, and that's expensive. So to me, domains are cheap, even at $70 million. I wrote a post on X about it. $70 million is a lot of money. There is no question about it. It's obviously the high watermark for domains of public record. However, in that AI space, he is now considered one of the players at the AI table. Every other person with a seat at that table spent tens of billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Tens of billions of dollars to have a seat at that table. Then he spent $70 million and he has a seat at that table. And I believe in an email I saw, I think he got 300,000 signups in the first 24 hours.
Yeah. And you crashing your site is a marketing play as old as time. Like,
yeah.
People think that he looks stupid for crashing his site. Dude, you crash your site on purpose.
Yeah.
Because you want everybody saying site is crashed. The site is crashed.
And like, creating FOMO.
Absolutely. I'm crashing my site right out of the gate. I'm doing Cloudflare right out of the gate that doesn't work. Like, that's 100% what you want. I'm flipping
the switch myself.
Well, look at the return that he got. According to Business Wire, his ad for AI.com, it was crowned the most effective ad in its category, and it generated 9 times the amount of impact of the median Super Bowl ad. That wasn't on the power of the ad, because the ad's very generic. It's very
the ad was garbage.
They don't tell you anything about it.
Garbage.
It's all on the power of that domain.
Yeah,
the domain and the story.
Yeah, and to further that, like, I think the message of the Super Bowl this year was like domains for the general audience going from the subconscious to the conscious. Now people are vitally aware of them. You know, a lot of times it'd be like, you know, they could tell what a good domain was from a bad domain. But now they're like, they're in it. And you can see the difference when a company doesn't have it. Like there was a Hims.com commercial there. And they were launching their women's category side. And whenever you see the two domains for that, Hims.com and then ForHers.com, both side by side, like you can feel it. You're like, you guys don't have it. Like you don't have it. You don't have hers. Like it hurts. It hurts them.
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts. It hurts. It hurts where it counts. Bottom line.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
You know, I also want to point out one thing that we did not see in the Super Bowl ads, and that is a .ai domain. We saw an awful lot of .com. You know what I'm saying? We saw a banger, absolute banger. It was just a parade of stud .com domain names, just bangers all the way down. Partners.com, homes.com, AI.com, Wix.com, you know, whatever, the endless stuff, the whole thing. It was just .com. .com.
We only had one. There was one.
And there was no AI.
There was one, but it was not a great word. It wasn't a good keyword. I forgot when someone posted.
That's exactly right. I forgot is the right answer. I forgot.
I did. It was.
I forgot what it was because it's so silly.
It was it wasn't a great domain name. Like it wasn't even a good AI domain name. But somebody put, finally we see one. I go, that's not the one you wanted to see. It's like catching a fluvial or something.
I can't. You know what I think is really funny is I get so much hate because I'm not a fan of the .ai. I really am not. Obviously.
Really? Well, this is
but you know, look, I'm transaction agnostic. You know what I mean? My job is just to do what my clients ask. We're SEAL Team 6. We get orders from above. And we go out and we just shoot to kill and we get deals done for our clients. And I don't care if they want .cc, .ws, .ai. I'm agnostic. So I think what people don't realize is I guarantee you we are responsible. I think if you were to take the top 5 all-time .ai domain sales, I bet you we're responsible for, I know we're responsible for 3. I think responsible for 4 out of the 5 biggest .ai domain sales ever. But yet, I'm still ahead.
No, you're doing a lot of, well, you know, look, I mean, I'm not a hater like you are, and I'm supportive
of because you. That's because you run with the crowd. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just supportive of our clients on both the buy side and the sell side that recognize that sometimes you can't get your .com, and if you're going to spend some money on a .ai domain, then so be it, you know? But I think I would agree with you 100%.
So be it. Yeah, just, you know what I mean? Like, as long as we get the, you know. We get
this. The Super Bowl proves the Super Bowl just continues to reinforce, like, you know, the pecking order remains, and you know, and that's great, and that's also great. I think it's, you know, you've got a rising tide lifting all boats, and this was a parade of validation for .com and domain names in general and .com domains especially. And, you know, it was pretty awesome. So
I mean, with the AI.com, that's more like an enforcement, not just a parade. That's an enforcement of the .com order.
Yeah. Well, it really is, right? It's like, so yeah.
We
so
get the showcase, it's the biggest marketing event in the world. It's not the biggest, like World Cup has more viewers than Super Bowl by far, but it's not the same as our mark. It's a marketing. We go there to watch the commercials as much as we do. So it's really a test of marketing across the board. And for Europeans to say it's not worth it, you know, every year it goes up in price. So obviously it works. Yeah. We don't watch live events hardly at all. It's local news and sporting events is it. That's all. We don't watch TV. This is the one chance to test out all that we've been talking about. And I think flying colors for domains came through this year in the Super Bowl. And the game was fairly interesting. Like that's the thing is you want it to go into the third and fourth quarter. If you're a marketing and the prices get considerably cheaper third and fourth quarter. And if that game sucks by the fourth quarter, then the Europeans are right. You probably didn't get as good a spend if you're a fourth quarter on a bad game. But
yeah, well, 100%. And it was somewhat competitive, sort of. The Patriots weren't particularly good. Seattle was definitely better. But yeah, I mean, it was enough of a game that people, you know, didn't shut it off, right? It didn't get so out of hand like when the Eagles a year ago destroyed the Chiefs. But
yeah, nobody wanted to miss the great comeback. You know, that's the thing is it stayed within a comeback opportunity. And that's
I mean, that's a good point. And so, yeah, but no, all in all, it was, you know, exciting stuff. And these are exciting times. So
not everybody cashed in at halftime like me. I mean, I understand. Yeah. Some people still had to watch the full game.
Well, because some people took their props involved like Smith Njigba and, you know, Drake May and guys that did not hit the over, you know, so
there were no touchdowns. Like first touchdown score didn't even show up till second half. I think that's
It was when Darnold hit the tight end. You know what I mean? So it was not a Super Bowl for over betters. So they had to stick around through the whole time. The nice thing is if you can hit an over early, you know, you're like cashed out. Now you're like, I'm
cracking
just
the 20 milligram drinks. Yeah. That's what I did. As soon as I hit my thing, I'm like, honey, I think we're going up to 10 milligrams.
You're moving on up. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's about it. We're almost out of time. We'll go quick around the horn. Why don't we start with you, Matthew? What? Anything else on your agenda? What do you got going on other than just grind it?
Nothing much.
What are the best three domains you're brokering right now, Matthew?
Well, human.com.
And if you want human.com, you better step up real quick. That's about to go.
Better do it fast.
Go.
Human.com,
one of my favorite domains we have ever brokered. Yep. I'm going to regret not buying it myself and that thing sells. And it's about to go.
Human.com and trade.com are top right now.
What's about mean? You got some good action on it? Or what's that
mean? Yeah, we got an LOI on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, gonna have a big winner up in the corner there, Mr. Human.
Yeah, human.com and trade.com are by two of my favorite that we're broken right now. Trade, love those two.
Trade.com is just so
trade's a banger.
Killer name.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm one of those guys. I've got F trade. I'm like, hey, if you can't afford trade, you want to sell a letter.
S trade.
X trade, like, hey, if you want a letter, come to my Alphabet Trade portfolio.
They call me Alphabet Trade Shane.
Yeah, it's like, and again, I don't want to cut you off though, but like the number bet things, like, you know, bet.com is $100 million.
Yeah.
And you add one number to it and it becomes a $1 million name kind of right now. And then two numbered dot bets are starting to hit $80,000. It's crazy how these how it transgresses and how it adds on. So anyway, keep going. What else you got?
You got one more?
What's the other one?
DNA, credit.
Credit. Well, I wasn't sure if I yeah, was sure there was something that we couldn't mention credit. That's where I like, I'm not sure which ones we're allowed to mention, but credit.com's
good. Good point. JT, are we allowed to talk about credit?
I believe we are, but if if not, we'll edit it out. But otherwise, we'll edit.
That was what I wanted to say immediately.
Credit.com is, in my opinion, the single most valuable financial domain name in the world. It is by far more valuable than money.com or finance.com or exchange.com or the entire planet. The entire global economy is run on one thing, and that is credit.
Yeah. What a good name.
Yeah, man. We got some bangers. It's, it's going to be...
it's a hell of a pipeline.
Yeah, we just keep doing what we're doing. Well, good job, Matthew. Keep working. You know, it's all good. Appreciate you being on the show today. Thank you so much for that. And Shane, what about you, man? So other than just dominating the world of stock trading and options and puts and calls and margin and leverage, like what else you got going on?
Well, I mean, I got two things I do. The DSAD every morning, going through the list, putting out the list. I mean, that's where our portfolio is filled, right? Auctions, private names, mispriced domains. I do it every day. It gives you, even if you don't find something in the list, I would tell you it's a good, it's a part of your day, right? You get up, you have your exercise, your coffee, you read DSAD. If you don't find anything, it still reminds you to start hitting the auctions and getting your domain day. So I just try and make it part of the day. Another thing I'm training for these ultra marathon things in a flatland is ridiculous trying to get 7,000 feet of vertical gain a week. And so I'm constantly running hills and up treadmills and I don't know if I'm going to live very long, but I have earned it. Like I'm really busting my ass to do, I'm really into peptides. I'm not taking any, but researching health, and I'm not a biohacker, but I'm trying to stay healthy so I can buy and sell more domains. I can buy and sell trade. I can do my daily routine and I'm great time. Like I'm just living my best life. I'm where you want to be after you work for 30 years. I really
there
feel
you go. Like, look at you, man. That's it. The poster boy setting the standard.
I'm living the life that you're working for. That doesn't mean I'm satisfied or content, but when anybody tells me what they have or don't have, I just say, you're still 30, man. You got 25 more years. You might not even be around 55. So don't say anything. Like, I'm where you want to be when you're 56 years old. I promise you.
Yeah, man. He's putting a flag in the ground and letting people know this is it. This is where you want to be.
I mean, that's not being cocky. That's just, I worked hard. We all work hard every day to do something, right? What's the point of what you're doing every day? And that's what you got to figure out. Why are you doing what you're doing?
Dude, I say it every single day. I'm like,
why I'm doing it. Yeah, no, that's right. Every time Drew yells at you, like, is this where I wanted to be?
What choices did I make? What choices did I make to end up?
Yes. What can I tell my kids not to do based on my life?
You're probably wondering how I got here.
And that folks, is how I met your mother.
Oh man. Sorry, every day I'm in the mirror. I'm like, you go back in there, you get it back on that Zoom.
You wipe away those tears and don't let them see you cry.
Keep your head up. No, it's all good. All right, man. Well, hey, keep killing it, man. Keep killing it. We love to see it.
We all kill it in different ways. Like that's what it's life's about, right? Like there's a lot of ways to kill it. There's a lot of ways. Financial, family, health. There's a lot of ways to kill it. It's tough to do it all three of them, but just keep working, man. Keep listening, having fun. We're good.
All right, Drew, what about you, man? Any final words of wisdom before we shut this thing down?
I mean, just in the theme of today's podcast, we talked about that AI.com basically for $70 million bought one of the last seats at the big table, the big AI table. And I think that we are selling right now the absolute last seat at that table, and that's agents.com. Oh. The future of AI is agents and platforms of deployable agents as a service, call it, for lack of a better word, is the next iteration of AI. First iteration was chat. Second iteration is agents. And, I think the third iteration is full on, robotics integrated with AI. But for the next 3 to 5 years, it's going to be agents. And That's happening now in real time. Everybody that's in the world of AI and everybody that's in the world of software is deploying agents. And only one company can own agents.com. And I truly fundamentally believe, I think it's the last seat at the big boy table. So only one company can have it. And once it's gone, everybody else is going to want it.
And Dharmesh, we know you're watching this. You need to sell some shares of HubSpot and buck up and get the name that represents everything.
Yeah. So Dharmesh passed. So far, he's passed.
He's passed agent. On a lot he of sold, them, but he came back as the owner.
Sold, we sold it. We sold Agent Singular to Dharmesh. He has obviously agent.ai.
Yeah, yeah. He has the singular.com too.
Yep.
Yeah, he bought agent.com.
I sold agent.com to him. Chris, about 2 years ago, I want to say.
Yeah.
Something like that, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I take that back, Dharmesh, if you want the pair.
But I agent.com is a banger. No question about it. But I actually think agents.com is better. I think that, they're most of the time, the singular is a better brand, but sometimes the plural is far better. In the case of cars.com, that's better than car.com. Hotels.com is better than hotel.com, right? And agents is the same. Agents.com is better than agent.com because agent.com is a singular agent. It's a brand for a company and it's a little bit, for what Dharmesh is doing, it's great, but it's not a platform, which is what agents.com is. Agents.com is a platform. It's the platform for agents. So anyways, that's it. Come and get you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and since we're talking about, names that we've got and, available, then I think you also got a shout out identity.com.
Oh, such a banger. No.
I mean,
such a banger. Identity.com is such a banger.
And the joint that I really love that's a little, a little bit more retro and kind of.
We have such a ridiculous lineup right now. We have the greatest lineup in the history of domain names. There has never been a marketplace, a broker. There's never been an inventory of domains for sale at this caliber in the history of the domain name market. I mean, just think about the names we just named on this podcast.
Yeah, well, and
I was .com, DNA.com, agents.com, credit.com, trade.com. But what else did you say, Matthew?
I said human, identity. Trade, .com. And credit.
Credit, yeah. Man, it's just...
But wait, and then I'm a big fan of Pong.com, man. We got
Pong.com, Adrenaline.com.
Ooh, Adrenaline, yeah, that's another great one.
I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
So come get you some. You know what I'm saying? Like yeah. We're doing what
it's going to be a good year.
It's going to be so far. Year. So far is great. It's only going to get better. So,
yeah.
But I think we're up out of time. I appreciate you guys for being here. To the audience, thank you guys so much for tuning in. It is very exciting times in the domain space, in the AI space, in the founder space, in the VC space. I mean, it's the markets, it's popping off. I know it's wild. There's so much happening and it's exciting time. So we appreciate you guys taking some time with us while we navigate all this collectively. And if you want to hit us up, the good, the bad, the ugly, we're not hard to find. Otherwise, we'll see everybody here next time on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody. We'll see you all soon.